Good morning. You listen to FloorDaily.net, and I'm Kemp Haar. I'm in Seattle at the annual CARE meeting, and I'm with David Crow, who's the economist with the NAHB, the National Association of Home Builders. David, how you doing?
Good morning, Kemp. Doing very well.
I've run a lot of your news on Floor Daily over the years. You're a very well-known economist, and you have a good sense of humor. You know that most economists talk about it's either on one hand or the other, right?
That's right. We have our own reputation to live down to.
But your news is good. I mean, you know, despite the fact that the GDP for the first quarter of 14 almost went negative, your outlook for the rest of the year and on into next year is somewhere between 2.5% to 4% for GDP growth, right?
That's right. We went through some tough times, and we really have cleared most of the obstacles to growth. And so that's why I think we're really on the threshold of some more consecutive and positive growth in the overall economy.
So when it gets to housing, which if you're selling flooring, housing is a key factor, because if you sell a house, that's called turnover. So you've got, you know, existing home sales, you've got new home sales, all of that generates a flooring sale. So the people in this industry really watch it closely, as much as your ultimate clients, which are the builders. So as we look at some of the positive things that you're looking at, employment numbers, you say, are almost back to the peak in 2008, aren't they?
That's right. In terms of total employment, we're just about at the threshold of making up for all the lost jobs during the recession. That isn't enough, of course, because during that period, we've had a lot of people age into the employment force, and so they need a job as well. Of course, some of them got a job, and some who had a job still don't have one. So it's a mix of making that peak return. So we still have about a 3% growth rate needed to get back to the long-term growth path for total employment.
What some other factors that are involved in housing movement is mortgage rates. You said in your presentation earlier today, we see this quantitative easing that's being tapered off, and that's automatically going to result in an increase in mortgage rates, but they're still going to be within reason, aren't they?
Yes, that's right. I think you have to look at mortgage rates in terms of historical values. And so, yes, they were down around 3.5% at one point in 2013. And that gives a lot of people perspective to think that, well, I missed that. Well, that's true. You did. But they're going to go up. The economy is going to grow. There's going to be a lot of reasons why there's other demands upon capital. And they're still relatively low, even if they go to 6%. They're still relatively low compared to the history of mortgage rates.
And another factor you pointed out is if you look at automobile sales and home furnishing sales, they're actually pretty hot right now, aren't they?
That's right. If you try to interpret people's ability to move forward with more sustainable purchases, more durable purchases, and you look at home furnishings and automobile and vehicle sales, you see those approaching, or in the cases of home furnishings, passing their last peak. That's a good indication that a lot of households are feeling comfortable about their financial security, and they're spending money on things they could otherwise postpone.
One of the things that you pointed out, and it's probably the most interesting thing that I caught out of your presentation, is this household formations number. You call it the pixie dust for housing, and you gave us some data around where it was at pre-recession, and then where it's been, say, last year, and where it is currently. In pre-recession, you were telling us that it was probably over a healthy rate. You say the healthy rate is about 1.2 million household formations. It was up around 1.4 million. Just in the past year, it's been around 500,000, and you're looking at it to be in 14 around 600,000, right?
That's right. Household formations are the real underlying housing demand. You need more houses because you have more households. And these are primarily from young people, from people 25 to 34. That's when they launched their own independent living. And so during the peak, we had virtually anybody that could borrow money of any sort was launching themselves into home ownership. And we had the crash and the recession, and without jobs or without a secure source of income, we had a complete collapse in household formations, down to around 500,000 a year. That's crawling its way back as we resolve some of these underlying financial issues, as young people get better jobs. I conclude that that will be where we get an improvement in housing demand, is from those lost household formations, most of those people are still here, they're just in mom's basement, as well as a turnover rate in those people that moved into renting because of temporary situations and now will move back out into house, into home ownership.
That's another factor I wanted to point out that was on that same chart. Back before the recession, only 12% of those new houses rented when they started their household. And that number has gone way up. Much of the new households that are formed today go into rental now, don't they?
That's right. It's a whole series of reasons. Young people may not have a high level of job formation and job income that they had in past periods. They're likely to be more mobile, likely to have to move around in their jobs, at least in the early stages of the career. And they don't have enough savings. The mortgages are tougher to get for the people just starting out. So all of those reasons have resulted in a much higher level of demand for renting for younger households than for owning. And that's not going to turn around immediately. That will take some time to get the young people's feet on the ground and their financial situation secure enough to be able to afford to buy a home.
Now, one of the points you made is this balance of existing home sales to new home sales. You were pointing out that in a normal economy, they track, you know, where you see about four times as many existing home sales to new home sales, but they're not moving together right now. Talk about why you think that is.
Yeah, so we had this collapse in housing demand when we hit the recession. And we dropped in the total number of people forming households. We essentially didn't need as many houses as we did before. And in fact, we were ending up with a surplus because some people collapsed into fewer households. They went into being back to their parents' home and they rent to be roommates with other people. So we had an excess of existing homes. The only way to adjust an inventory of a product, any product, if you have too many, is to stop adding more. And so we stopped adding new homes at a much faster rate than we stopped selling existing homes.
Now, as we close here, you did leave us with some pretty positive information, as I said at the beginning of this interview, around your forecast. I mean, we talked about GDP, but you broke housing down into three sectors, the three sectors that you track, and that's the remodeling sector, the multifamily sector, and the new single-family construction. And you're telling us that your call on your strong hand is for a 3.8% increase in the remodeling sector, around flat in multifamily. That's been very strong as we pulled out of this recession, but it's probably going to taper off a little bit. But the one area this is a headline, if anything, is that you're calling for single family starts to go up 20% this year and up 55% next year, right?
That's right. It's an aggressive forecast, but it's the sector. The single family sector is the sector that has the most ground to make up. Remodeling is near where it was back before the ramp up and ramp down again. Multifamily is clearly at that point, and so it will continue to grow, but at a very, very slow pace relative to where it's been. It's the single family side. It finally has a lot of ground to make up. It finally has a lot of pent-up demand to serve. It's got good underlying economics in the basic housing market, and so it's time to see some real production take place.
You know, a lot of builders, I mean, the reason that the NAHB has you on their staff is that these builders need to kind of gauge their risk level. So would you call these forecasts that you're given a conservative calculation?
Realistic calculation. I try not to lean either conservative or liberal or overly confident, if you will. Our forecasts have generally been in line with what's actually happened. We bragged that last year's 2013 forecast at the beginning of the year hit within 3% at the end of the year. I'm hoping the same thing continues to be true.
Okay, David, great to be with you. Again, been talking to David Crow, who's the chief economist with the NAHB out in Seattle, Washington. And you've been listening to Kemphar and FloridaDaily.net.